Good evening. Once again, you're listening to The Hour of the Time. I'm William Cooper.
And hello from Carolyn Nelson.
And right off the bat, I want to wish my daughter Jennifer, wherever she may be, a very happy birthday tomorrow. And stick around, Jennifer, if you can, because I got something for you later at the end of this show. Well, everybody, I've got a sore throat. And I'm going to let you talk tonight. And so don't go away. Be right back after this very short pause. Phones tonight, folks. The number is 602-333-2174. That's 602-333-2174. Want to know how many of you went out and bought Gannett stock today? How many of you just sat on your butt and didn't do anything? Let's hear from you. Good evening. Welcome to the Hour of the Time. Hello. Goodbye. Well, folks, the number is 602-333-2174. If you want to call and play games, we'll waste an hour. Good evening. You're on the air.
Yeah. Good evening, Bill.
Hello.
Bob from New Jersey.
Hi, Bob.
Bill, I'm 57. I've been blind for about the past 25 years. Very few times that I've even missed having my vision, okay, because I've adapted to it real well. Once in a while, I'll come into my wife, boy, I wish I could see that, but it's very seldom. I got to tell you, Bill, after hearing your description the other evening of the Luxor Casino, that is one occasion when I truly wish I had vision so that I could see it. I do go to Vegas about every 2 or 3 years, but I'm afraid that most of what's at the Luxor is visual.
Well, unfortunately, you're right. But I want to tell you, my friend, that you probably possess a lot of skills, and you probably adapted in ways that I wish I could duplicate.
I'm sure I would get a good deal out of it, but, you know, this is one occasion, and I probably could count in the past 25 years on the fingers of one hand the times I wish I had vision.
Uh-huh.
Your description of that North Shore is one of those occasions. I do intend to go out there and take it in. My wife is sighted, and of course, you know, she can convey to me what I'm missing. But that is, your description was just marvelous.
Well, thank you. I tried to convey it as well as I could, but I have to tell you, I really didn't do very well.
I thought you did fine, Bill.
Great.
Thank you, sir.
Are you able to see with your mind's eye, so to speak?
Oh, definitely. Definitely. I even dream visual. I'm still in color.
Well, that's wonderful.
Oh, yeah. It's not, you know, to me, blindness is a grand comedy. And a sad comedy, perhaps. But the comedy is that is not what people think it is. It's not near the total disaster that most people think it is.
Well, of course not. Nothing ever is.
Right.
I had a blind friend once who I used to stand and just marvel at some of the things that he could do. He could tell when there was a wall in front of him about 2 feet away without fail, every single time. And it just used to drive me crazy. And I'd go home and close my eyes and try to figure out how he did that. And, of course, there's no way. Because he's developed that over many years.
It's sound vibration, Bill. You pick up the echo.
So you're doing it sort of like bats and whales and...
Right. But you do it without thinking about
uh-huh.
it. You know, it's just a natural thing that you develop.
Well, I'm envious, my friend.
Oh. I envy you. The good work you're doing. Thank you, Bill.
You're welcome. Thank you for calling.
You are my pleasure. Bye-bye.
602-333-2174 is the number. Like to hear from you about anything we've talked about this week. Specifically, I'd like to hear from people who bought Gannett Company Incorporated shares. Good evening. You're on the air.
How you doing, Mr. Cooper?
Good.
I got to turn it. We bought a bunch of shares of Gannett today.
Wonderful.
You know, and they're yours to do what you want. You know, we'll give you the proxy.
Great. We don't want the shares, remember. We don't want your money or your stock.
And you can do what you want. You know, don't worry.
Wonderful.
Patriotic family. I hear this Limbaugh tonight, you know, he's knocking Shalala, which I'm glad about, you know.
Oh, me too. Do you know what she did when she was head of that college in her home state?
No, I don't.
She put out a memo stating that any student or faculty member, whether tenured or not tenured, would be dismissed if they referred to the men who started this country as our founding fathers.
Wonderful.
Can you believe that?
Just Clinton, and then I just watched him out here. He was in Moscow with Ted Koppel there.
Uh-huh.
They're so phony.
Well, I got to hand one thing to him. This is the first period of time I've ever seen him. It might be due to his mother's death, but it's the first time that I've ever seen him without that silly, stinking little grin on his face that just makes me so angry every time I see it.
I say God bless you, Bill. Keep doing what you're doing.
Well, thank you, and God bless you for buying that stock. That's one more move toward turning this country around.
Thank you.
Good night.
Bye-bye.
602-333-2174. Maybe you'd like to tell our listeners, Carolyn, what happened today. Are you getting calls?
Well, I've had at least between 15 and 20 calls, and people started right off talking about their Gannett stock and the proxies. I'd say about a third needed to know how to send in the proxy. The power of attorney and the statement and getting it notarized was something they were unclear about.
Well, good. Good evening. You're on the air.
Good evening, Bill. I was wondering if you could give me some information about the show a couple of nights ago where you read the article from, I believe it was La Traviata?
No, it's La Traviata. I mispronounced it. It's my fault. I said La Traviata when I read it off.
Okay. First of all, is that a magazine or a newspaper, and is it something published in the States?
It's just a small newspaper. Do we have the copy anywhere, Carolyn?
Yeah.
Could you run and get it for me? Where do you live?
Rhode Island.
You live in Rhode Island?
Mm-hmm.
I think this paper comes from Pennsylvania. I'm not exactly sure, but I think it does. But it's a real interesting little paper. It's got some very serious articles, and it's got some real good humor in it, if you know what I mean, a little satirical stuff.
Right. Well, if you can, you know, find it later and give an address or something, or...
Oh, we'll find it. Carolyn just went to get it. It'll be a couple of minutes, and when she brings it back, I'll give the address and the phone number, or the phone number and the address, or just the phone number, or whatever.
And I'd like to let you know that I did obtain 100 shares of stock. I got it on the first time, so to speak, if you know what I mean.
Yeah, great.
For, they sent me the wrong form as far as the proxy, so you haven't gotten that from me yet, but I've had the shares for probably since maybe a month and a half, 2 months.
Yeah.
You will be getting that.
Well, just call the company and twist their arm. Make them send you the proxy, and then you fill out the proxy, have it notarized, and send it to us.
Yeah, no, I definitely will be doing that.
Great.
I also had one idea. I think it, what is it, March 9th, I think, is the anniversary of the adoption of our Constitution. I believe it was March 9th. Perhaps people could write in their, wherever communities they are, to their local newspapers to maybe publish the Constitution to mark that day.
That's a wonderful idea. In fact, you should go down and jump up and down on the editor's desk and make them publish it.
Yeah.
Right.
The whole thing, in its entirety, with the right capital letters, too.
And not to wear out my welcome, but if sometime if you could repeat where you could announce once where you could obtain copies of the Constitution. I do have a couple of copies, as a matter of fact, but I would like to find it in sort of a poster form where it's all sort of on one page. I don't know if it's been produced that way.
Well, as soon as we gave out that address and the phone number, they closed it up.
Oh, okay. Because I had it on a tape, but I accidentally erased that tape.
So we'll get another source. Don't worry.
Okay.
I might have a source right here. But nope, this is the one we gave you. Okay, thank you for calling.
All right, good night.
602-333-2174. Okay, I hope this person likes to talk because I don't want to talk. Good evening, you're on the air.
Good evening, Bill. I had an odd request. You've played a couple of times Amazing Grace.
Yeah.
I was wondering who the artist was that did that.
It depends on which one I did. I play a lot of different versions of Amazing Grace because I collect it by different artists. I have over 50 different versions of it.
Oh, I see. You're really an appreciator of that. Well, it's not. I couldn't tell if it was Joan Baez or Judy Collins. Do you have both those versions?
I've got Judy Collins.
Uh-huh.
I don't think I have Joan Baez. Not here, anyway. I may have at home. But, we can do that some night, probably next week.
Okay.
Can't do it tonight. We always set up our shows, we cue up our music, and everything is all ready to go.
Sure. Well, I was going to try to locate that CD myself. It's such a great version.
Yeah.
But okay, thanks a lot.
You're welcome. Thank you for calling. Yeah, I think that's the most beautiful music that's ever been written, the most inspiring lyrics, and if you ever want to make me feel good, just send me a new copy of Amazing Grace by anybody. I don't care. Who it's by. Good evening, you're on the air.
Thank you, Bill. Bill, Linda Thompson was here in the Detroit area this last week.
Yeah, I know.
And kudos to you. There were over 1,000 people in the auditorium where she spoke. And, she, of course, she brought your name up and you're backed up, and she had a standing applause.
Wonderful.
They had to turn away hundreds of people.
Mm. Well, that's a shame.
Yeah, but next time they're going to go into Cobo Hall, which is a much larger stadium.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Every time that happens to me, I always tell them to take a walk, and when I'm done, I just stay and open the doors and do another one. That's what I do. I've stood in front of an auditorium for as long as 12 hours.
My goodness.
And, that's what we have to do. That's what we have to do.
Well, I'll tell you, the general consensus is, I'll tell you right now, I'll be honest with you. I know it sounds a little tough, but pretty much so. People have given up on the people in D.C., and they're ready to defend the country or the Constitution.
Well, I hope it doesn't come to that, but if it does, I hope everybody is ready to praise the Lord and pass the ammunition.
Well, that was my mother used to tell me that back in the 1940s. That was when I was a little kid. I used to sing that song when my dad was over in the Pacific. But anyway, that's the consensus. Generally speaking, people have lost confidence in the people there. And they're preparing for whatever eventuality may come to pass. And but you certainly have, as a matter of fact, she was on the radio talk program in the morning, WXYT radio, and one fellow called in and identified himself as a CADGY member. He just said CADGY.
Wonderful.
And he had some interesting things to say. And, well, anyway.
Could I add that the one way we are trying to go first without any bloodshed is to take over Gannett. Everyone buying stocks and sending the proxy to Bill, so spread that word.
I would certainly like to be involved in that. It's enough to get people to think, you know, to think constitutional. Everybody got received a copy of the Constitution of the United States and, you know, a little booklet. And with the Constitution Declaration of Independence at that meeting. And what you're talking is something I have a hard enough time just convincing people to believe in that, in that document itself. But when you talk about the other thing, which I think is effective, it confuses a lot of people here.
Well, it's the only effective thing there is right now. That's how they took this country away from us, was through the media.
Well,
and I can go back and document it step by step over the years. I can show you exactly how it occurred. I can show you exactly which newspapers, which television studios, which Hollywood movie studios were involved. And I can show you exactly what they did, the movies they made, the articles that they printed, the shows they put on television, and show you exactly how they have conned the American people and taken away their ability to think for themselves and their will to remain free.
Believe me, Bill, there's not a lot of people out here. These people have not said too much. It's been an uphill battle here with...
My friend, I used to say that too, but you come and sit in my chair for a while and you'll find out there's more sheeple than you ever dreamed of in your life. And you got to understand something else too. A lot of these people that swear they're going to be standing beside us when it all comes down will run for the hills and do just exactly as they're told, just like everybody else.
I kind of go along with you on that, but hopefully it won't.
There's talk and there's action.
Yeah.
And when the action comes, it will weed out the talkers, and you'll find that less than 3% of the people in this country will be willing to die for their freedom.
Expect the worst. You'll never be disappointed.
Well, yeah. You don't have to expect the worst, but you've got to be realistic. You can't live in a fantasy world, and that's where most people are living today.
Well, the consensus, at least at that meeting, was, you know, people are, they're aware about the stickers on the backs of the signs and so forth. I don't know if you heard about that.
Yeah, I have, and I want to know how come there's nobody out there scraping those stickers off and painting the back of the sign.
Lighters and everything.
Yeah, good.
Oh, yes, sir.
Yeah.
You know, the word's out, you know, and believe me, people are...
Take a sticker just like it. If it's in the lower right-hand corner, okay, put one in the exact opposite corner in the upper left, the exact opposite color in the upper left, and you'll have people running around in circles chasing their tails, not knowing where the hell they are.
Love you, Bill. You're great. Okay,
well, you're great,
America,
too.
And I hope we stand, you know, and make this Constitution... live forever until Jesus comes back.
Thank you, my friend, and thank you for the call.
You bet.
Now, folks, I want you to understand that in the progression of human events, eventually there must be peace on this earth, and eventually there must be one world. So it's not that concept I'm against. I'm against the lies. I'm against the deceit. I'm against the manipulation. I know that anything built upon a mountain of lies and deceit and manipulation is nothing but a bunch of bullshit. It's nothing but a way for a small group of people to gain control over a large group of people and enslave them. If they want to come out in the open, they want to have a dialogue and a debate, if they want to put it to the people of the world whether they want to have peace and what kind of government we want to have, I might even be there supporting it. But the way they're doing it, never, not on your life. If they're not going to preserve our Creator-endowed rights, if they're going to destroy the only instrument in the world that ever set man free, if they're going to do it through lies and deceptions and manipulations, not me. No way. Good evening. You're on the air.
Well put, Bill.
Thank you.
Hi, Carolyn. How are you?
Fine. Good. I made it through.
Pardon?
You got through all right.
Yep. It took a while, but I got through about 8 minutes. I wanted to tell you, Bill, that I've got 10 shares I bought after examining in for 2 weeks after your initial announcement.
Who is this?
November 8th.
Who is this?
You know who it is.
This Glenn?
Yep. How are you?
Glenn? Can I reach through this phone line and yank you in here? And
I wish I could.
Sit you down and give you a little lecture?
Absolutely.
You've sent us so many letters and tapes and instructions and things. We don't know what in the hell you want. So we're sending it all back.
Okay.
For you to straighten out and just send us a little bitty note saying what's what and who's where.
No problem.
Otherwise, we don't know what's going on.
No problem. Bill, I want to tell you, I've got 10 shares.
You're the only guy in the world I ever saw order one tape and do 10 pages to do it.
Sorry about that. I got 10 shares back on November 8th.
Uh-huh.
And I called today, and this is more for your listeners. Just to be sure of it, to verify how easy it is for the listeners, the stockbroker himself will make out the slip, you know, as far as giving proxy power for you to have authority to vote anybody's shares.
Right.
And I'm going to go in Monday. That's going to be taken care of. It'll be out to you by Tuesday.
Wonderful.
And I'm going to probably buy 5 to 10 shares again next week and see what I can do to put it in my son's name.
Great. That's great. We encourage everybody to save a little bit of money each time they get a paycheck until they get enough to go buy some more and continue that, because even if we don't get enough, forget this February 28th stuff. If we don't have enough to do what we need to do on May the 4th, then we're going to continue this campaign until we do.
Right.
And we don't have to have a stockholders meeting scheduled. If we have enough stock proxies in our hands, we can go into that company and we can call a stockholders meeting.
Right. Absolutely. And by the way, for what it's worth, I will be there May 4th, and absolutely for sure, D.C. is not too far for me.
Great. I'll be there,
too. Wanted to say thanks for the good work.
Thank you, Glenn.
And God help America, and thank God for people like you and Linda Thompson and Carolyn.
Well, thank you.
Thank you.
Okay, take care. Good night.
Good night.
Oh, Bill?
Yeah.
One more thing, briefly, again, just for your listeners, about that
page
program.
Two. Go ahead, Glenn.
For that program last night on primetime,
uh-huh.
This is for the world and for your listeners. I'm sure you know it, but I wanted to get it out. Diane Sawyer, the host of that program, is a member of the Council on Foreign Relations.
That's correct.
And, of course, you and I can both prove that.
The whole thing was a propaganda job.
Oh, I'm telling you, I'd have been better off not to see it.
Yeah, one thing they did, though, they really slipped up.
Well, you're right about that.
They showed a better picture of the tank with the flame on it than Linda Thompson ever thought of come pulling out of her hat.
I taped it, and I know what you mean. That's true.
I taped it, too, and we're going to cut that out, and we're going to make it available somehow. I don't know how. It's really not cost-effective to put one scene on a videotape and sell it to anybody, so I don't know how we're going to do it, but somehow we're going to make this thing available.
Well, other than that, and it was worth it for that, nevertheless, it was just disgusting, you know, and wondering how many people took it at face value.
Oh, I know what I'll do. We'll send it down to Phoenix and have it tacked on the end of Linda Thompson's tape on the master. That
sounds good. That sounds good. But, you know, these people that sit around and watch somebody like Diane Sawyer, come on, wake up, folks.
Yeah.
It's pitiful. Anyhow, thank God for you folks. Keep up the good work, and there'll be certificates of authorization coming your way next week.
Wonderful, Glenn. Thank you.
Okay?
Mm-hmm.
Take care.
Good night.
Bye-bye.
And by the way, Glenn, I was only joking. Good evening. You're on the air.
Yeah, Bill, this is Jerry from San Francisco.
Oh, hi, Jerry. How you doing?
Good. My
thank you for your hospitality when we were in San Francisco.
You're welcome. Very welcome. I can see my fax never made it to you, so I'm going to read this over the air.
Oh, it didn't make it because it was disconnected.
Oh, okay.
But I'm glad you called, and it's good, because since you found it, you should be the one to read it on the air. For all of you out there wondering what we're talking about, Jerry is a CAGI member. He had some good stuff that I wanted to read over the air tonight. He was going to fax it. I wasn't here. The fax machine was turned off. Carolyn didn't know that he was trying to fax it. So he's going to read it. So go ahead.
A little nervous here, but let me try to do it.
Don't be nervous. Carolyn doesn't bite.
This is about Steve Carlton, which is a pitcher that's going to be inducted into the Hall of Fame. And this is an article that appeared in the San Francisco Chronicle, plus in the Contra Costa Times, which is in the Bay Area. And this is the second day in a row. So here we go. For most of his career, newest Hall of Famer Steve Carlton did not speak to reporters. It's a good thing, too. People might not have believed that Lefty had something to say. Much of what a 49-year-old Carlton had to say these days has nothing to do with baseball. He did an interview with the Philadelphia Inquirer recently, and what he had revealed was rather puzzling. Carlton said he no longer follows baseball. What he does interest him, is politics and world history, Jesus Christ and Eastern philosophy. Although he said he never had much interest in formal education. Now, he told the Inquirer he doesn't trust the government. He believes that each of the last 8 presidents has committed treason. He thinks other dangerous influences in the world are Skull and Bones, the secret society at Yale, the International Monetary Fund, the Council on Foreign Relations. Carlton doesn't believe the 16th Amendment, giving government the right to collect income taxes, was never ratified. Ratification was declared by the Secretary of State in 1913. He believes world leaders are engaged in a secret plan to wipe out the middle class by the year 2000. And it ends this way. Let's hope we don't hear from Lefty again until then. And that's basically it.
Well, that's good. See, folks, I'm not the only insane person out here.
Yeah, well, at least we have somebody in sports speaking up, okay?
Well, that's it. You know,
Roman, you know.
Coming from the gladiators, that's rare, isn't it?
Yeah, exactly. All right, Bill, I just wanted to make sure I read that off.
Thank you, Jerry.
And I bought the doc, you know that.
Yes, I know.
It's on its way.
Yeah.
Jerry, I'm going to shut off the fax machine again.
Callum, how you doing?
Good. You come through again.
Hey, God bless you both. And sheeple out there, let's get on the ball.
Thank you, Jerry.
Bye-bye.
God bless you. Folks, I, you know, sometimes I neglect the CADGI members, and I should give them more praise because they are the backbone of just about everything that we do. Good evening. You're on the air.
Yes. I have been listening to your program for some time, and several times I've heard you mention about putting by a 2-year food supply or stores and that sort of thing, and I was wondering on if you had a list of information or a book where I could learn how to do this properly without spoilage. And then also, it's curious that I happen to know a few friendly Mormons, so to speak, and they say a 1-year supply. I wonder what the discrepancy is. And then also, a few of us need to maintain mobility, shall we say. And, you know, how could you do this and, you know, carry this with you when you need to move, you know, frequently?
Well, I don't know how to tell you how to carry it with you when you move frequently. One thing you don't want to do is let everybody know that you have it, because the neighbor that you love so much right now is such a good neighbor and a wonderful person.
Uh-huh.
When the you-know-what hits the fan, will come over and kill you for that food. You understand what I'm talking about? In fact, some family members might come and kill you for your food. What you have to do, we had all of this set up for everybody to be able to get it cheaper than they could anywhere else in the country, in enameled cans, nitrogen-packed, dehydrated food. We had the cheapest price in the whole world, in fact, that we could discover. For CADGI members and listeners to this program alike to be able to buy a 2-year stock of food for 2 people, okay, for less than $1,800. Okay, and if you had 4 people in your family, then it was a 1-year's supply of food. But you go out and check prices with anybody who does this, and you'll find that you can't even come close to that price anywhere. And it gave you the required number of calories and protein and vitamins and minerals and everything every day, and balanced meals, the whole works, everything. And not one single person took advantage of it, so we quit it. It cost us a lot of money to put it together and to do it, but we had to quit it because nobody took advantage of it.
So there's no everyone, you know, doing this, and then they're...
Well, there's lots of people doing it. Go down to your local grocery store and get survival magazines. If they have survival seminars or expos or, you know, conventions and things in your area, go to those. And you can go down to get hunting magazines and all those kinds of things. You'll see the ads in there.
Okay, I guess I haven't been looking this properly.
But it'll cost you a fortune through all those other people. It's a sad thing that nobody took advantage of it. I guess they were thought we were trying to make a bunch of money, but we weren't. We actually got a 50% discount off the retail price from the wholesaler.
Then why? I'm curious. The Mormons say a 1-year supply. What's you know, how is it you arrive at the 2-year, and how is it they even say a 1-year? And you know, what's the
time
frame, or how do they...
Well, all I can tell you, I want you to go down to your local Christian bookstore or any bookstore and order a book called The God Makers and read it.
I've heard you refer to this before and haven't done this.
Yeah. God Makers 1 and God Makers 2. And I think Dave Hunt is one of the authors.
Yes. So you figure that, you know, get them halfway through and then gotcha sort of thing is why the 1 year...
Well, I just go read it. I wouldn't believe anything the Mormon Church ever told me. Period. We got to go. I got to take the break.
Okay, thank you.
Take care. But that's never happened throughout the history of the world. There's always been a black market. And wherever there are people who have something to sell, there's always someone who has something to buy it with. Are you going to be one of the ones who has something to buy it with so that your family can live a little bit better than those who don't? Even if none of this happens, you don't have to be a wizard to know that even at a 1% rate of inflation, the dollar loses its value every single day. And ever since the Federal Reserve System took over this country, inflation has never stopped. And as long as they have control of the money of this country, inflation will never stop. And you will get poorer and poorer and poorer. Remember when you could go to work? And your wife could stay home and raise the kids. Remember that? I remember that the wife could go to work and you could stay home and raise the kids. I didn't see much of that, but I guess somebody did it. Now, you're both working. You're barely making ends meet, and even some of the kids are working. And you're always hanging just on the edge of losing it all. Well, if you had done what I'm going to suggest right now a long, long time ago, it wouldn't have happened to you, ladies and gentlemen. You would have been able to preserve what you had. A lot of people did that. I know a guy that was trying to convince me to buy gold and silver coins when I was about 24 years old, and I didn't do it. Well, he's a millionaire now, and that's all he ever did. You see, and I'm not a millionaire. But and I'm not talking about buying these fancy numismatic treasures. I'm talking about just gold and silver coin. He would buy bags of silver dimes and just put them away in a vault somewhere. And just leave them there. Now he's a millionaire. Several times over. You know, he had a regular job. I don't remember what it was, but he had a regular job. It wasn't anything fancy, and he didn't make a lot of money. He got rich. He's a millionaire now because he was smart enough to do that, and I'm not a millionaire now because I wasn't. See? So, I'm steering you right, folks. There's only one thing throughout the history of the world that has always maintained its value. That's gold or silver or any one of many of the other precious metals in their various forms. Including platinum. I recommend coin, and I recommend you stay away from those high-priced, fancy, numismatic things. But that's up to you. You don't have to follow my advice, and since I'm not a millionaire, maybe you shouldn't. But I do know this. People who have put their assets, either partially or wholly, into precious metals have never lost a penny. Never. Now you say, well, the gold market goes up and down, the silver market goes up and down. I'm not talking about that, folks. I'm talking about buying a loaf of bread. You see, you can take 1 ounce of gold today and buy exactly the same number of loaves of bread that you could in 1910 today with that same ounce of gold. And in the year 3000, you'll be able to take that same ounce of gold and still buy those same number of loaves of bread that you could today or in 1910. Or indeed, in the year 1276. So call Swiss America Trading now, 1-800-289-2646. That's 1-800-289-2646. Folks, do it. You know how you are. You know how you procrastinate. Call now, 1-800-289-2646. Do it. You'll be glad that you did. Good evening.
How are you today, William?
Well, I'm okay. How are you?
Not too bad. I was listening to your visually impaired.
I'll be better in 100 years.
Oh, yeah?
Yep.
When you first came on the air tonight, you had a visually impaired person on.
I hate all that phony baloney bullshit. It was a blind guy.
Yeah.
Anyway,
blind guy, too, up in Nova Scotia, Canada.
Uh-huh.
But you program every night here in my basement by my wood stove because it's nice and cold outdoors.
Great. Aren't cold nights wonderful for sitting around a wood stove?
Sure are.
That's what I'm going to do when I get home.
Yep. But I was listening to your description of the Illuminati Ellipsis Hotel myself.
Uh-huh.
And I wished I could see it, too.
Well, you know, maybe you can't. Maybe you see it better than we do in your mind.
Yeah, maybe. But way, way down there in California, and I don't think my chances of getting down there is too great.
Well, actually, it's in Las Vegas. Where are you at?
I'm in Nova Scotia, Canada.
Nova Scotia, yeah, that's way. How do you hear the program up there?
Oh, I got a shortwave radio that me and my girlfriend, we found it in the garbage one day, and I brought it home and messed with it and got it going.
No, I mean, what I meant was, how's the reception?
Oh, it gets interfered with a bit with the Catholic station.
Catholic station.
Yep.
Ah, you need a digital synthesized radio.
That you can lock in place.
But if you found yours and fixed it and it works, then that's pretty good, too.
Yeah, works pretty good.
Anything else we can...
John?
Pardon?
Good show you get on. It's good to have it on two times a day.
No, thank you. Well, we try to. We with the early show, we hit a lot of people who can't stay up late because they have to get up early in the morning. With the later show, we get all the people in the other time zones who are, you know, in a prime time slot.
Yeah.
Plus, we hit the world. You know, it's hard to satisfy everybody, but we try. But you should be thanking Swiss America Trading. They pay for this airtime.
Oh, yeah. I got a hold of Swiss America Trading way, way, way back when you first started advertising.
Great.
Yeah.
They're wonderful people, and I'll tell you right now, they're paying out a lot more than they're bringing in from this. But they believe in this message of this program. Craig Smith is a Christian. He knows how close we are to losing it all. So... that's why he's doing it.
About what it is.
I want to thank you for calling.
Have a good night.
Good night.
Bye.
602-333-2174 is the number, and we'd like to hear from you. Whether you're in New Zealand or Nova Scotia or Ireland or California or New York City. New York City, you're probably not even home yet from what I saw on the news. Good evening. You're on the air.
Yeah. How are you doing?
Good.
Good. I was wondering if I could read a quote to you, but first, if you could tell me...
Well, what's it all about and how long is it?
Oh, it's just two sentences, three sentences.
What's it about?
Do you know who David Spangler is?
Do I? Well, I'll let Carolyn answer that.
Okay.
Why don't you tell us your quote? I think we've heard of him.
Yeah, this is on Reflections of the Christ. It says, quote, Lucifer comes to give us wholeness. If we accept it, then he is free and we are free. That is the Luciferic initiation. It is one that many people now and in the days ahead will be facing, for it is initiation into the new age, end quote. So I thought people might like to know that. I know he's a prominent new ager, but I don't know.
Wait a minute. I want you to read it again. This time I want you to put your mouth directly in front of the telephone and keep a high level on your voice. You dropped off at about the second sentence, and it was hard to hear.
I'll do that. Lucifer comes to give us the final gift of wholeness. If we accept it, then he is free. That is the Luciferic initiation.
Try it one more time. We lost you.
That's fine. That is the Luciferic initiation.
No, the whole thing.
Oh, okay. Lucifer comes to give us the final gift of wholeness. If we accept it, then he is free, and we are free. That is the Luciferic initiation. It is one that many people now and in the days ahead will be facing, for it is initiation into the new age, end quote.
I understand that the Christos is going to escort the rest of us to another dimension to rethink our values. Have you heard that?
Oh, I've heard of the spiritual cleansing coming, yeah.
I think that's in his writings also.
Oh, is it? I didn't know what you knew about him, but I thought folks might find that interesting just in case they didn't think the New Age was Luciferian in nature.
Oh, yeah, that's why I give you the fanfare. I mean, people think I'm nuts when I say that.
Yeah, no, I've heard from a book called The Hell and Back. So.
Who's David Spangler, Carolyn?
David Spangler happens to be my maternal cousin.
Oh, really?
I haven't seen him, yes. I haven't seen him for quite a while. I did go to hear him talk in a small church in Lower Manhattan. We met after the discussion for a few moments. I never could quite follow everything that he talked about. I know that he spent... 3 years in Findhorn,
yeah.
Where he was the head of Findhorn. He helped to build it up from 15 to over 300 people, I believe, over a period of time. I guess he believes in what he's doing. I did write a long letter to him explaining my position and how I would be trying to share with the rest of the world what I think and how I think his Luciferian approach to life is rather evil.
Yeah.
So if you join in spreading the word, that's good.
Yeah, I've shown it to some people, and you know how they are. You know.
I think a few other people have mentioned him, too. Ralph Epperson and Tex Mars.
Yeah.
As well as William Cooper.
Yeah.
And,
people can look it up if they want. It Reflections on the Christ, and... You're not nuts. Neither am I.
That's right, my friend. Thank you very much. We really appreciate that. I really appreciate that.
Great.
I do too.
Okay, bye.
Bye-bye. 602-333-2174 is the number. Boy, I'll tell you, people are waking up out there. I mean, when I first started this radio show, I never got a call where anybody ever agreed with anything, to tell you the truth. And the first time I ever went and spoke anywhere, it was like... I thought I was going to get tarred and feathered and run out of town. Good evening. You're on the air.
Hi, Bill. This is Jim calling from Idaho.
Hi, Jim.
In reference to your earlier comment about only 3% of the population having the fortitude to stand up for what's right when the feces hit the fan, I think I have to agree with you, but I would rather have 3% of the population that I knew I could trust and that would really be there than... some kind of half-hearted effort.
Oh, yeah. The only reason I brought it up is because there was a little element of unreality in that call.
Yeah. I do think people are definitely waking up, though. I'm in the gun business. I sell gun accessories, clips, and magazines.
Good for you.
And by mail order. And the number of calls that I get from customers who seem to realize what the bottom line is, not just a reaction to possible legislation, but long term. You know, people talk about buying a lifetime supply or a supply for both them and their kids and their grandkids.
Uh-huh.
And I think people are waking up, and a lot of people are, you know, I don't want to use the term civil war, but people are...
Oh, I'll use it. I've used it plenty of times.
Okay, well,
I've warned these silly elite that are in charge that if they don't change their ways, there's going to be a civil war in this country. Not because I want it, but the whole purpose of this program is to try to wake up enough people to avoid any kind of bloodshed.
Sure.
But simply because it's going to happen because they're treading on the very basic fundamental ideals of this nation that the patriots are not going to stand for.
That's for certain. There's enough people, I think, that will stand up if need be and make the sacrifice if need be, to make sure that our constitutional republic survives.
Yeah. I want to watch all these hypocrites who patted their sons and daughters on the butt and sent them off to fight a war in the Middle East. I want to watch what they do when it comes to fighting themselves on their own ground in their own country. They're all going to run and hide. I know.
That's right.
Well, they don't even realize that we're at war right now.
Yeah, that's correct.
And you were mentioning 3%. I think that would mean we need at least 100,000 in each state that would be awake, active, buying stock in Gannett. The opposition could give away or sell their stock and give us a sign that they're recognizing what's going on.
Yeah, hopefully by people doing things like buying Gannett stock and by supporting companies like Swiss America and getting their money out of the Federal Reserve system and, you know, feeding the bureaucrats.
Yeah.
Hopefully a civil war won't be necessary.
Yeah. People don't understand. If they take their Federal Reserve notes, instead of putting them in a bank account, to put them into gold or silver coin and bury them somewhere, put them somewhere out of the system, it hurts our enemy.
Oh, sure.
And if everybody in this country would go down and buy gold or silver coin and refuse to deal in Federal Reserve notes, they would be out of business. There would be no threat to the Constitution from that moment on.
Yeah, they'd be powerless.
That's right.
They gain their sustenance from us. They're like a giant leech on the system.
That's right. Every time we touch one of those nasty things.
Anyway, Bill, keep up the good work. And,
thank you.
Every time I deal with Swiss America, I mention your name, and I want to encourage people, even if they're just calling in to get information from Swiss America, to mention your name. I think they need the reinforcement to know that that what they're doing is the right thing in buying the airtime for you. And for all the listeners out there, sing the praises of Bill Cooper and what he's doing, because he's the voice of reason, and he's the voice of sanity in a world that's going insane.
Well, I'm trying to be, but don't put me on a pedestal, because I'll be the first one that'll fall off. I'm just as human as anybody out there. Thank you very much.
Good night.
Good night. 602-333-2174. Yeah, folks, don't put me on a pedestal. I'm just like all of you. No better, no worse. I just woke up before you did. And now I'm just fighting the battle a little bit sooner than you are.
And you're going to make sure that the rest of the people wake up and are just like him.
Good evening. You're on the air.
Hi, Bill. Hi, Carolyn. This is Hillary from Long Island calling.
Hillary from the White House calling?
No.
Oh. Ooh, boy.
Are you in Florida or New York?
A friend of mine from New York City once, and he didn't speak for a few minutes, and he actually thought it was Hillary Clinton.
Really?
Yeah, he's one of those Wall Street types. And
I was just kidding. You know that.
He wasn't. Oh. He was disappointed.
Wow.
He thinks he's important, but that's what happens to people on Wall Street.
Well, it's not so bad for him to think he's important, but for him to think Hillary's important is really bad.
Well, I have a question for you.
Sure.
Do you know the book Red Cocaine, The Drugging of America?
No, I haven't seen that.
This is a book that was kind of recommended from the Taxpayers Party or something. I got some literature from them. And I opened it up. It has a really nice introduction by someone who is from the Central Intelligence Agency. And the author was in military intelligence himself. And the whole thesis of the book is that cocaine and drugs in this country is a communist plot.
Well, you can
There's
take
no
that.
No mention of the CIA.
Let me tell you something. There are no leaks, and there are no ex-CIA officers. In fact, there are no ex-officers.
Well, that I've heard you say before.
That's true.
And I believe it, too.
It's absolutely true. When you're an officer, you're in forever, for life.
And I would also include the kind of colleges people go to and prep schools, too,
uh-huh.
if they maintain those relationships.
Yeah. It's not the Russians or the Soviets who are doing this to us. It's people right here in this country who are doing this to us. And by the way, they're the ones who created the Soviet Union. Even the most cursory elemental research will bring you to the realization that the Soviet Union was created, backed, financed, and brought into reality, and their economy was bolstered all these years. The Cold War was a scam to yank all the money out of our pockets to fund the technology that they needed to control us in the New World Order. And the Rockefellers had a bank inside the Kremlin for the last 50 years, my dear.
So what do you say to people who say a lot of what's happening for conspiracies has to do with the Japanese?
The Japanese?
Is there a Rockefeller connection to building up the Japanese economy?
I'll tell you what you do. You look them right in the eye, right straight in the eye, and say, you are a racist. And I don't want to talk to you anymore.
Okay, thanks.
Because it's the truth.
What?
It's the truth. Out of all the people who own property and businesses in the United States, the Japanese are fifth, and I'm talking about foreign countries. You know who's number one?
Great Britain.
Nope, it's the Dutch.
Hmm.
But you know why nobody ever notices that it's the Dutch? Because they look just like everybody else that live here. Great Britain is second. And Great Britain... most of the property that Great Britain owns is under what's called the Rank Corporation, and the Rank Corporation, the major stockholder, is Queen Elizabeth. I don't think she's there anymore. Are you still there?
Are you still there, Hillary?
Nope, she's gone.
Oh, she's gone. I was going to say that it's great to see more and more of these husband and wife teams out there fighting the battle with us. This is Hillary and Bruce.
Oh, yeah, wonderful. Good evening, you're on the air. You're the last caller, by the way.
Oh, Bill, it's Jim in Fort Worth. How are you?
Good.
Listen, I've got a question. About a week ago, excuse me, on one of our local TV stations, I saw a thing they've run, and I have not seen or heard anything since, about the National Archives are moving all documents. They said it was going to be the largest move in history. It was going to take 3 years. They were going to move.
I hate to do it, but I got to cut you off. I got the gist of it. Call us back on Monday.
Okay,
and,
thanks.
And tell us about this. Okay?
Good night.
Good night. Good night, folks. God bless you all. And Jennifer, happy birthday, my dear. I hope you have a wonderful one.